today. Jay, come up. We just want to pray for you, bless you, heal you. So stretch out your hands and just scream out fire. We know Jay loves fire. One, fire on Jay, God. Ha. Yeah, God, we just ask for your anointing over him. Ho, sha. Yeah, God, just bless his mouth. Ha. Shora ba, shara ba, soko. Just increase, increase. Ha. Increase your spirit over his life right now. Increase your confidence over his life right now. Hey, yeah. Yeah, God. God, that he has as much fun, ha, speaking your word as we're going to have listening to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you. Well, ha. Yes, Sandra's awesome. She lives with us, so we never kick her out. But it's good that God does rent miracles because it helps us financially, too. And as far as speakers go, did you know that next year is a great year? Woohoo! Yes, I'm gonna do the first sermon, and it's going to be prophetic and anointed and awesome. But we also have some new speakers, some new leaders. Alicia is going to be speaking. Woohoo! Claire is going to be up to bat, too. Woohoo! And Vivian's not here because she's in church, kids' church, but she's going to be up to bat as well. So, like, there's going to be lots of opportunities because I like giving out people. I love giving people opportunities. I love it. 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 Ha. It's one of my favorite things to do, and one of the big, big, big privileges for me is to do that because, I remember the first time I preached at Central, and my knees were knocking, and I was nervous, and I didn't think I had enough time, and I stayed up all night praying, and, you know, and then I just got in the flow of the Holy Spirit, and this rush of God's peace came upon me when I was praying in the parking lot, and I kind of settled down, and wow. The presence of God was so amazing, and at the end, I felt so happy and so fulfilled. It was like God had used me, you know? And it was awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Ha. Because I believe that God wants to use each and every one of us. You know, God didn't create anybody without a purpose. He never did. I don't see anybody new or anybody that I would believe that would be unsaved, but I'll say it anyways. Everything, I've said this to lots of people, especially atheists, I always say, everything in this universe has a purpose. Comets have a purpose. Water has a purpose. Air has a purpose. Trees have a purpose. Everything has a job, except for one thing, mankind, which would suggest that mankind is in rebellion against his creator, which is interesting because mankind goes around saying, life is pointless and worth nothing. What was I created for? We're going to talk a little bit about that, what we were created for. Because you, unless you get into the fullness of the will of God for your life, you will not have peace, you will not have joy, you will not have fulfillment. You will be like what I say at work a lot. You will be like a monster truck on a NASCAR track or a fish in a desert without God. You can try to get satisfaction like the Rolling Stones and have all the money and all the power and all the girls and all the hotels, and you'll still be singing, I can't get no satisfaction. I have no peace. I know. I've been there, living in rebellion against my Creator. But when we submit to our Creator and we accept Jesus into our lives, oh, what a difference it makes. I was talking to Sandra just yesterday, and I was like, you know, I've been through physical abuse, sexual abuse, abandonment by my dad, my mom working and going to school at the same time, and my babysitter kicking me out of the house for the whole day. I've been through a lot of stuff. And I don't choose to live there because I don't complain about what God, about what happened in the past. I praise God that he took me out of there. And I don't have to live there anymore. But I can live in the glorious future, in the glorious call, in the glorious hope, and in the glorious breakthroughs that my Lord Jesus Christ has provided for me. And I don't have to go back there because I'm not a victim of the devil anymore. I'm a victor. And if you get anything from this word, I pray that it's that. You see, Jesus is God's greatest gift to mankind. You know, there's lots of debates about Christmas. Oh, Christmas is a pagan holiday. And it was a pagan holiday. It was. Totally was. It was a Roman holiday. They had a big tree in this town square. Everyone went to the tree and worshiped the tree. It's true. They had orgies and drinking, and it was a New Year's festival. That's what it was originally. Constantine wanted to make it into a Christian thing, so he called it the birthday of Christ. And there was people actually, the Puritans actually, they banned Christmas. They did not. Same thing with the Reformers, got rid of it too. They totally got rid of it. They were like, no Christmas. Christmas was illegal. If you were caught in the town square or with a tree, they burned you to a stake. No kidding. True story. Puritans were hardcore. And they didn't care. You didn't obey the law, you're in big trouble. Claire knows what I'm talking about. She comes from Ireland. They had Puritans there. Maybe not. Okay. Well, Salem witch burnings. You've heard of that? That was Puritans. Actually, I have relatives that were Puritans. So, I have relatives that were Puritans. My great-grandpa started 4 Reformation churches. Right? My grandpa used to make us all sleep on Sundays because it was the day of rest. True story. When we lived with my grandpa, we all had to go to sleep on a Sunday. Sunday, I was not allowed to get out of the bed. I had to stay in the bed. Anyways, that to say, so people have been trying to get Rome out of Christianity for years and years and years. And so we have Jehovah's Witnesses who refuse to celebrate Christmas at all because it's a pagan holiday. Have you ever heard that? But then you had this other guy named Augustine, right? And he was a Catholic, and he said, you know, God can redeem everything. Everything is redeemable. It all can be redeemed under the glory of God. Who believes that? I believe that. And so he started looking to the glory of God inside of things instead of looking at the devil inside of things. And the Lord started giving him all this amazing revelation. And so he's like, you know, God, I really believe that God said the tree is the tree of life and the gifts are the gifts of the Spirit. And he started writing down all this symbolic stuff. And the Protestants didn't get a hold of it until like 300 years later. Because we were still like chasing people around and stuff. It's true. They didn't get a hold of that. And they called it Wesleyan Augustinism. Or Wesley called it the middle way. That everything that is of God can be, that the devil has, can be redeemed and used for his glory. Because it was stolen in the first place. I believe that. And I believe that when we see the symbols that God has placed, there's places in the Bible where it actually says that the tabernacle on earth was a symbol of a tabernacle in heaven. It's in Hebrews chapter 7, I think. Anyways, these things are just pictures of things that are come down from heaven. I honestly believe, like, in prophecy especially. Ha! I'm not supposed to go here, but I'm going to go here anyways. And prophecy, I believe that prophecy is only just taking things from heaven and bringing them down. It has to relate with my sermon, don't worry. Bringing them down into the earth. I believe that when somebody draws a picture of a Ferrari, that Ferrari came from heaven. And when they draw the picture of it, or the design, or the plan, that's a prophetic picture of what could be brought from heaven. And then somebody builds it, they're actually bringing the plan, the prophecy, to life. Does that make sense? And God said there's some prophecies that are just pictures yet to be fulfilled. And I believe that each one of us in Christ is a prophecy, a picture. God has a picture for us, a plan for our life yet to be fulfilled. All we have to do is work with God on building it. And we'll get Ferraris for calls. Believe that? Yeah, because Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. He's the gift that keeps on giving. John 1:14 says that he came. The word. Oh, sorry. 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of that. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. 17. I believe that. In John 1:14, it says he comes full of glory and full of grace. And I believe that he wants to fill us with glory and fill us with grace. He came full of the glory of God and full of the grace of God, that he might give that grace and that glory to us, the church. He wants to fill us with that glory and that grace, that we might become gifts that keep on giving. Because John Arnott always used to say it during the revival, you can be a bucket or you can be a pipe. A bucket's always like, more, more, and it's always getting filled, but it's never really pouring out or doing anything with what it's got. Oh, yeah, Jackie remembers. And he said, or you can be a pipe. And you can be flowing in the gifts and in the Holy Spirit. Here, I'll pipe ya. There's some piping. I like being a pipe. Pipes can hold more, technically. Even if you are a bucket and you're being filled to the point where you're overflowing, God can't use you as well as if you're a hose in his hand. He actually wants us to become full of glory and full of grace, just like him. I really believe that with all my heart. So we're going to turn to Ephesians. And we're going to see. Ha. You know, when you receive Christ, you can receive him as a gift. And some people receive him as like a single ticket For me, it would be a Maple Leafs game, but I know not everybody likes the Maple Leafs, but for me, in the gold section. And that's really great. You go there, you enjoy it, you tell a testimony about it, you got the breakthrough, and it's for you, and it's good. But imagine if you receive Christ as like season's tickets to the gold section. Do you know what that means? You can't go to all the games. So you get to pick your friends and those close to you. And for the games that you can't go to and receive, you get to give them the tickets. And tell them where you got them. And they can go and enjoy the game in the gold section. And then they give the tickets back to you. Yeah. I want my Christianity to be like more like that. Like season's tickets rather than just regular tickets. And God made Jesus to be like season's tickets rather than regular tickets. In Ephesians 1, 13, it says, "In him you have trusted," he's writing to the people in Ephesus, "after you've heard the gospel of salvation, you know about Jesus, you're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You've received it. It's yours. As a guarantee of our inheritance, until, you know, think about that, as a guarantee of our inheritance. Ha! In verse 15, he talks about how they have faith in Jesus Christ. And he thanks God for them and makes mention of them in his prayers. Isn't that great? He thanks God for them and makes mention of them in his prayers. Now we're going to keep on moving through 15, 16, 17, 18. And he says, but then he says, but there's more. I pray that the Lord God of our Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of him, that you would understand, your eyes would be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory. A lot of people think that they have regular tickets when they have season's tickets. The worst thing I hate is if somebody had season's tickets and they just sat on them and they didn't invite somebody else to go to the games that they couldn't go to. Yeah. Especially when they were given to you. People don't do that out of spite. They just do it out of ignorance. But Christ is so full of glory and so full of grace that even when we receive him, we haven't received all of him. We haven't. I love John 1:1. This is like, the Word was God and it was with God. Right? Did you know that God wants us to be with God? Wants us to dwell with him? And he wants to send, he sent Jesus down in the flesh. Did you know that? Did you know that God puts Jesus inside of our flesh? Through the personhood of Holy Spirit. As a gift to us. To give to other people. Do you ever think of it that way? Ha! In the same way, Jesus sent the Word down to dwell among us in flesh. God has sent his Spirit down to dwell among us in our flesh. And the Holy Spirit my good friend, he's a great guy. And I don't mean to belittle him at all when I say this. Because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's the wrapping paper. He's the lovely, nice wrapping paper that makes you want to open up the gift and discover more of your life inside of Jesus Christ. Ha! I love being wrapped up in him. I love it. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:22 and 23 that in him, right, God has worked inside of Christ. He's far above every demon and principality that and every name that should be named, that he put all things underneath his feet to make him, think that, he gave him to be the head over his church, which is his body. Now, who is his body? So that means that in him, this Zoe life, they call it, or in the Holy Spirit, or in Jesus, when Jesus is inside of you, giving gifts to other people, all things become underneath your feet. If you take your place within the body of Christ, which is given to you through a revelation of your inheritance of him. Isn't that amazing? You can go the other way. There were some Israelites who got the breakthrough. And God was on the mountain and they were about to receive God's heart, his law. I call it God's heart. Because I really believe that if everybody followed the Ten Commandments, that they would have a perfect life. And I also believe that that it wasn't made to hinder us or hurt us, but to protect us and elevate us. But the people actually worshiped the breakthrough, or the gift rather than the giver, and they hung on to that gift, and because of that, they weren't able to walk into their promised land. Right? But if they had have realized that it wasn't the gift, but it was the giver, they probably would have been more than willing to give it away. In this case, God was asking them to give it back to himself to build a tabernacle, which is the church. We become living stones that form a tabernacle of praise. In chapter 2, it says, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, we, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, even we were dead in our transgression, he raised us up together in heavenly places with Christ. Ha. Think about that. Created with him. I love that. Because if we're in heavenly places with Christ, that means that we're part of his body. And if we're part of his body, that means that we're inside of his church. Becoming gifts that keep on giving and giving and giving and giving. Do you know why? Because he never stops giving. He never does. I've seen him give and give and give and give and give and pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out, and there's no end. There's no end to it. He will just keep pouring and pouring and pouring. And Ephesians 3, it says, for this reason I bow my knee to Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family of heaven is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, and you may be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that he may dwell in your hearts, that the Word is God, that it might dwell inside your flesh and become a gift to mankind. Ha! That we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the height and the depth and the length of his love. Practically, the only way I know to comprehend the depth and the height of his love, because lots of people talk about it, I asked God, how do I do that? And you know what God said to me? He said, first, think of the worst sin you ever did and know that I love you that much. That's what he said to me. But he said, then you have to start forgiving other people of their sins against you. And he said, that is the way to experience the full height and depth of my love. Because you will have fellowship with me in love as you learn to forgive and love back. You see, to the extent that somebody sins against you is the extent of the power of love that you can receive from God to love somebody else. Yeah, I know. I think that's why all the saints, they went through all these horrible trials and persecutions. It was because as God was pouring out his love, he was actually causing them to have fellowship with him inside of sufferings, that they might be empowered by that love, that they might be set free from the, as Heidi Baker calls it, the wrapping and trapping of this world. I want more freedom. I don't care. I want God's love to set me free. Free from bitterness, free from hate, free from pain, free from shame. Free from materialism. Free from fear. I want it all. I don't care. I don't care. I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Because I know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that I could ask or think according to his power if I allow him to work within me. Because God just doesn't want to fill me with glory, but he also wants to fill me with grace. Because the glory is not really worth anything without the grace. Someone was asking me on the phone. They're like, oh, one of my cell guys is on fire, fire, fire. I'm really happy. I'm really happy that my cell guys are catching fire, starting to blaze for God. Yeah. There's nothing like being on fire and blazing for God. And he's like, how do I stay out of pride? I'm getting so filled. And I said, stay in praise. It's easy. Once you're praising God and thanking him for everything that he's doing, you just keep giving him all the glory. And even as you do that, you'll find yourself not being in pride, and you'll find yourself not wanting to go back to your sin. And with each praise, you'll be taking another step forward in faith. And God will be filling you with glory and filling you with grace, and you will be receiving that glory and grace. And because of the fact that you're praising Christ, and praise not only is just raising your hand on Sunday morning, it's making a gift bag, singing a Christmas carol and handing it out to people. It's going to the strip joint and saying, God did this in my life and it was so awesome. He can do it for you too. It's living waters that come into your soul and flow out from your belly and make rivers and deserts. That's what it is. And I love it. 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 I do. I love it so much. You know, there is one body and one spirit, and we are all called, Ephesians 4, according to the hope of our calling, to our Lord, and our one faith and one baptism, who to God, who is the Father of all, and above all things, through all, in you all. That's the important part. Through all, in us all. Not just me. Not just Steve Long, bless him. Not just John Arnott, bless him. Through all, verse 6, Ephesians 4, verse 6. In you all. Think about that. That's amazing. That means that God is in us, reigning through us as we let him flow through, as we surrender to him. If you want the kingdom of God to come, all you have to do is open your heart and surrender to him. But each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And it talks about again how he ascended and put principalities underneath their feet, that he might give us gifts. He led them in captive and gave gifts to men. Gave gifts to men. You can read it. 7, 8, 9. Verse 4, Ephesians. I love this part. 11, he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, for the equipping of the saints and the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Jesus! God wants you to be the gift that keeps on giving. As you receive the gift that keeps on giving. God wants you to be a pipe and not a bucket. God wants you to be able to come here and receive just as easy as you're able to come here and pour out. And if you don't come here to pour out or receive, then somebody else is going to be missing out. God may replace you later on, but I pray not. Because I think that everybody individually has a special purpose within the plan of God, because he wants to reign through us all. Not just me. Can't do it without you guys. Can't win this neighborhood without you. Can't rescue sexually exploited people without you. We can't help people in the followers' mission without you. We can't bring the glory of God and revival to this neighborhood and bring, I will hope to bring a flood of praise and glory and grace. That we would come like Christ, Christmas caroling, full of glory and full of grace. Full. God has given us gifts that we might become gifts to one another. that the body might be knit together in Christ, because when we become together in Christ, that means that every demon and principality will be under our feet. Veronique used to have these sandals with this lizard on it. And we used to always say, oh, the devil's underneath her feet. And she's like, yeah, the devil's underneath my feet. God told me that. And I said, well, jump up and down a few times then. First time she said that, I'm jump up and down then. Jump and jump and jump. It was prophetic. I didn't even know how prophetic it was. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift that kept on giving. That Jesus came full of glory and full of grace, and that he didn't hold back, but he keeps giving away. Worship team, I'm going to need worship team. I'm just going to take a couple minutes. Everybody just stand up. Holy Spirit is here. He's alive. He's alive. If you feel empty and you don't have anything to give, why don't you just stretch out your hand? I do this all the time. Sometimes I'm just like, God, I'm dry. I don't feel empty and I don't have anything to give. And that's much like Peter sinking in the water, crying out to Jesus, and Jesus coming and lifting him above all the winds and waves and circumstances around him. I hold my hand out to God and I cry, Abba Father, because I know that he hears me. I know that he answers me. I know that he loves me. I know that he's full of glory and full of grace, and just waiting for me to say the word. Because when I do, he'll open up the tap and begin to pour out on me. His mercy is falling. His mercy is falling all over this place. It's falling, it's falling, it's falling. I need you to get really filled up. Really filled up. Really full. Ha. Keep getting filled up. Fill, fill, fill. Ha. Now your buckets. As you're getting filled up, and the Word of God is coming inside of you, inside your flesh, when you just begin to ask the Lord to transform you into a pipe. And when you feel filled up enough that you're no longer a bucket, but you're a pipe, I want you to just lay hands on the person next to you and I want you to bless them and prophesy. Or if you're sick of being a bucket and you want to be a pipe, do it too. What I used to do sometimes when I'm praying for people on the ministry team is I would hold one hand out like this and I put the hand on the other person. It's just a prophetic symbol that you want to be a pipe. Let's try it. Come on, put your other hand out like that and receive. And then put your other hand on the person and pour. Ha! Thank you, Lord. Shala brababa kura barakatara katara kasheta. Some people here have been crying out for more of God's glory. Here it comes. Some people here have been crying out for the kingdom of God to come and his will to be done. Here it is. Some people have been crying out for more of God's will to be done, more revelation. Here it is. Sometimes more revelation means that we can't comprehend the height or the depth because God has given it to somebody else to give to us through a word of prophecy or edification. Shah. Ha. Shoo. If you're getting a picture from the Lord, start to speak it. Pray into it. If you feel unction for healing from the Lord right now, just start to pray that out, that their person is healed. Speak it in faith. Let the love of Jesus pour through you. Exchange your regular tickets for season's tickets and watch what the Lord will do. You can still go to the games. Thank you, Lord, that even now people are beginning to no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and trickery, but instead they will be speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head, for whom the whole body will be joined together and knit together, and every joint will supply according to the effective work which each part does, which will cause the growth of the body and the edifying of itself within love. Grow. 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 Grow into apostles, prophets,
amen.
Evangelists. Grow into mighty women, men of God, warriors, forcefully advancing the kingdom of God, taking it violently. Shake this world as God shakes you. This is the gift that Christ gave on Christmas.
It's a gift to you.
We'll pass the wrapping paper. Open up the gift and receive it with joy and thanksgiving. Amen. And amen.
As we use the gifts you've given and the callings and the life, we say yes, Lord, to just walk in everything you've given us, because there's such joy in that, such joy in you. Ha. Hey. Yeah. Thank you for the word that you planted in our hearts this morning, DJ. We say yes. Amen. Ha. Yeah, Holy Spirit, breathe your life. breathe on all that you said this morning. Ha. Hey, to come everything of you to alive, alive, life. The resurrection life.
Hey. Amen.
God's shown some of you specific giftings today. Some of them have been in the healing department. Some of them have been in just different areas. But I just really feel like some of you have been given a gift for healing. And I just feel God saying, go out and use it. Do not put it in hibernation. Like that gifting is ready to be used. Ha. Shora basante rikara bashara. Ha. Yeah, if that's you, and if there's anybody here that is feeling, you know, unwell, someone, anybody here that needs healing, I just pray that you come up to the front, and those that God has given that gift, ha, for healing, I want you to come and pray. I just really feel like God wants to activate gifts today. Ha. Shora basante de shara. Ha.
We receive healing.